to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back, everyone. It is week two of our second series. It's Ladies of Liverpool. Thanks so much for getting involved. Hopefully you're leaving your reviews. If you're listening to the podcast via the podcast app, it would be absolutely brilliant if you could leave a review, rate and share it. Tell all your mates to tune in as well. This week, we are locked down with Liz McLarnon. So you remember Liz, lovely Liz from Atomic Kitten. Well, this is probably one of the most honest interviews you're ever going to hear with Liz. She tells us exactly how it was being a bit of a child star, touring the world, and exactly what she's doing during lockdown. This is Ladies of Liverpool.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything.
Are you there,
ladies.
Liz McLarnon?
I'm here, Leon.
Yes.
Hello.
So if you don't know, me and Liz go way back to schoolies. I remember your 16th birthday was one of the best birthday parties anyone at school had ever had.
How can you imagine? I look at that now and go, oh my God, was I like some like posh kid? We weren't, but like, why? How did I have a 16th birthday party?
It was brilliant. It was before Sweet 16s were a thing.
I know, before they made the TV show and everything.
Yeah, you were doing it first in South Liverpool. It was all the rage.
In Garston. I was like, yes, come on.
I remember a couple of days before it, dyeing my hair black because my mum told me I couldn't. And I was devastated. And I had a lovely lycra suit on from Rio's. And Rio's? I had jet black hair. My hair was all patchy and jet black. I was devastated. So I think I've thrown all pictures of your Sweet 16 out. I don't want to look at myself on them.
Oh, I've got a few if you want, me to find them.
Yeah. Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Talk me through where you are right now. What's around you? Give us a visual. We're all sat in our own homes and it's nice to be nosy. Go on.
I'm actually in my dad's house. So I live half in Liverpool, half in London. So made sure I was home before the lockdown. So I'm in my dad's at the moment, making sure my mum and dad are okay. I just wanted to be close to them for this. I just couldn't, you know what I mean? I couldn't be anywhere far away. So my dad's, he's got a big, massive telly. I've got my old birthday cards up, and my birthday was about 3 weeks ago, but that's not important. And that's it. I've got a chicken soup.
She loves a birthday. A couple of minutes into the podcast and all we're talking about is your birthday.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? You brought it up and then I just ran with it.
So the cards are still up. You can keep them up, can't you? And do a bommie with them when it comes to bonfire night.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Some of them are a bit choice, to be fair. But no, do you know what? I'm going to keep them up until I get to have a nice little party for it, because it was a lockdown birthday. Nice. So, yeah.
That's a good idea. So that's nice. You're at home. You're with your parents. That's lovely. Mm. How's life changed for you then? What things are you missing, Liz?
I want to go on stage. Oh, I mean, I know you do too. I mean, I just want to be on stage, like singing. I just want to be doing something like that.
You want to be getting paid as well, I imagine.
Well, I do want to be getting paid. Yeah,
how many performers are just, the lives have just fallen to bits. It's horrendous.
Well, you'll know as well, because we do theatre, both of us. And there's no money around for any performers. Like, you know, just like if you're like in the chorus of it, like even if it's a big show, there's just nothing for anyone. So I think like Equity was trying to do some stuff and Musicians Union and stuff like that. But I've just got some, you know, you have like, you keep the group chats going, don't you, once the shows are finished?
Yeah.
And I've just got loads of my friends just going, like, there's nothing around for anyone. So a lot of them have started, to be honest, lovely people. A lot of them have actually started volunteering and doing all sorts of stuff, just like people with beautiful hearts, beautiful
just
hearts.
Going and doing something really useful at the time, you know?
Yeah,
When you could make a difference, you could, couldn't you, right now? Going and working in Tesco's is actually, you know, where you might have gone, oh, I'm a dancer, I don't want to go and stack shelves, but it's probably one of the most useful jobs you can do apart from working in a hospital right now.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And a lot of my friends have done that, to be honest, a lot of them.
Yeah. It's mad seeing how many changes, you know, people are going through, whether it comes from your job changes, your relationship status changes. I've got a couple of little private WhatsApp groups. And I've got to say, at this point in the lockdown, myself included, we're all starting to consider single life after the lockdown.
Do you know what it is? The grass is always green. I am single at the moment and I'm like, oh, I'd love to be with someone to have a cuddle. You know, like, oh, just to, well, you probably couldn't have a cuddle, to be fair, but just to be like, just be close, just to, you know, and you're just like, oh, maybe not. Because I have heard some stories myself. I'm like, oh, maybe not.
at the start, me and Jay were like all over each other. It was brilliant. We were having bevvies every night. We were totally loved
up. I saw your Instagram stories, I know.
Oh, yeah. I've got to start remembering people can see that, not just me mates, you know. Yeah. I keep forgetting, and then random people are messaging me and go, what were you like last night? And I'm like, oh, I've got to delete the Instagram account. No, we were having a ball at first. We were all like loving each other's company. And then now I'm on the edge. I flipped the other day. I was like, it's one thing me washing your dishes when you're in work, but it's another thing when you're standing watching me wash your dishes without doing anything. It's getting on my nerves. But we won't spend this podcast slagging Jay off.
No. To be fair, that would annoy me as well. That would annoy me.
It is. It's a nightmare.
Ladies of Liverpool,
let's talk about when your life changed. How old were you when you joined Atomic Kitten?
Well, you were saying about my sweet 16th, and it was actually because it was not long after that. It was after we got our GCSE results, the day we got our GCSE results.
Wow.
So,
you're a baby. You're an absolute baby.
Mad,
so what is it involved? You've gone from, you've just finished your GCSEs, you've joined a band. When did life start changing and how?
It didn't for a while. We just started doing like lots of little gigs. We had like, you'll know, like school tours, you know, you do schools in the morning, but then you'll do like a club gig at night. So you'll get about like 3 hours sleep, and then you do another like three schools the next day and do another club gig that night. So we did that for about, I think about 6 months. And then they said, we want you to go to London to meet a record company. We were like, oh, okay. All right then. And then we met Virgin Records, or Innocent on Virgin. And they were just like, yeah, we had, you know, the Spice Girls, and we were like, oh my God, we've got it, oh my God. And then I think we still carried on for a while doing all that when we signed to the record company. But I think for me personally, when we signed to the record company, we got it like a check, which wasn't a lot of money, but to a teenager, it was a lot of money. So my mum said, you can use that for whatever you want. Because our mums, for me and Tash, our mums had to sign our record deals for us because we were too young to sign them.
Oh, wow. I never even thought about that. But you weren't classed as adults?
No, I know. It's mad, isn't it? So my mum said she would give me a year off me A-levels. She said, you got a year. And if it doesn't work, then you go back to your studies. Is that all right? And I went, yeah, okay. And then we did all right, so we were good.
The next minute, you're flying around the world.
No, it's mad, isn't it?
So when did you, there must be a moment, or maybe there wasn't, maybe it just all became one big moment. I just sit and think of you there, knowing you as a little girl, and then the next minute, you're about to step on stage, you know, to hundreds and thousands of people all screaming and chanting, and your pictures, you know, in the magazines and all that kind of stuff. There must have been a moment where you had to pinch yourself and go, this isn't Kansas anymore. This isn't my old life anymore.
When we found out that Hooligan was number one, but to get to number one, it had to beat U2 to get to number one. It was just like, oh, by the way, you're not going to get to number one with this song. We were like, oh, yeah, because U2 were out. Yeah, that's fair enough. But I think things like that, like me and Tash, we're in a hotel in London and we had one of them, and she just ran in. We were bouncing on the bed going, oh my God, we're number one. And then I think it literally changed from sort of a little bit famous. But you know what? We felt the fame in Liverpool because Liverpool always, always, always supports their own. That's the big thing. So we felt it already in Liverpool. We felt like everyone was like, go ahead, girls, nice one. Yeah. Just like shouting across the street and stuff. But then when Hooligan went number one, it was literally like that day our everything changed, because we maybe had like three interviews that day, and it turned into like 20, 30 interviews. That's just like phone calls. You've got to ring that person. You're ringing Radio 1. You're ringing. And we were just like, whoa, this is the weirdest thing. It just changes, doesn't it?
I hear it in your voice. It's like you can hear that you've gone from, oh, yeah, we were doing school tours and signing the record label. And I can almost hear in your voice, you go, yeah, that changed.
Yeah.
Obviously, the highs come with lows. Were there moments where you thought, I'm in too deep?
Yeah, no, there was quite often, because like you said, we were very, very young. And there's times when I look back and I do think that sadly, a lot of us being sad, I mean, I know from, let me talk from personal experience, being sad could definitely be misconstrued as like being a bit arrogant or a bit of a, RC teenager, if you will, you know, like it's kind of like, I don't even care, whatever, but you just like you want your mum, or you just want, you know, like just something, you haven't seen your mum for like 4 months because you're in some, you know, I sit in a fabulous country somewhere, like in Asia, like tour in Asia, and it's amazing, but at the same time, people, it's a funny thing where people are screaming at you and screaming at you and like loving you and everything. But then you go, you do go back to a hotel room because you can't go out because they're outside the hotel waiting for you, which is, it's all amazing, but it is, it's dead sad when you're 18, 19 and you're just going, I don't know. And you know, your mates are ringing you saying, oh, we're going to blah, blah's party tonight. Yeah. And as much as you're living the high life, you do, you know, the grass is greener in that way. It's a, it's sad for you as well, you know, but.
And it is sad.
I don't regret it.
No. I imagine, look, it's given you a wonderful life and you've achieved things that so many people, you know, the industry is saturated and so many people want the same thing at the end of it. But there are a handful of jobs for hundreds of millions of thousands of people who want that handful of jobs. What you did was amazing, but you shouldn't ever feel guilty for thinking you were overwhelmed at times. And it's like you're
holiday, you know.
And it's
you
great do. On holiday. And then you just want to come home and have a cup of tea and get in your own bed and have things back on your terms.
Yeah, I know it's mad. Like you're not grateful, but you so are. Yeah. Doesn't mean, I guess you're right. It doesn't mean just because you have moments of like, I even though this is fabulous, I don't really want to be right at this second, doesn't mean you're not grateful for it most of the time.
Do you know what? A mate of mine, and I've got to get it on a podcast in the next few weeks, Sally Lindsay, lovely actress. She was on Corrie and stuff and she's brilliant. And she once said to me, we sat having a bottle of red wine in the pub behind the Empire one night and we were chatting away and she said to me, do you know what no one ever tells you? It's that you want this fame and you want everything that comes with it. And the minute you open that door, you can't close it again.
I know.
You step through that door and there's no going back. So as much as all the great stuff that comes with it is brilliant, there are also times when you just want to step back in the door and shut it dead tight.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
To be on the brink of something else and then to walk away from it because you know it's the best thing for your health. And we all know that's exactly what you should do and anyone will advise you to do that. But is there a little part of you that wonders what would have happened if someone would have just gone, take a few months and then pick it back up? Do you ever wonder what that next chapter would have been?
I don't really. I take it as it is, to be quite fair. Yeah. I probably do, like, for a few seconds, maybe every now and again, like, or even subconsciously, I don't know, feel it sometimes. But I don't actually, because it was it was the right decision. And, you know, we still had an amazing time doing it. We're still living off this now. It's amazing. Like, I'm okay because I've wrote a load of songs for the kittens and stuff. And Tash and I do loads of gigs. We were meant to be this year. We were meant to be mostly in like Germany and Belgium.
How lucky are you to get to travel and do what you
amazing. Oh, amazing. That is so grateful still. And you know what now? I think it's nice because it feels more like on our terms, to be fair. We're just singing a nice few songs. Every single one, everyone who's there knows them and they sing them with us. It's dead enjoyable. And then we go,
and that
we'll
intense
have a few
pressure isn't there anymore, is it?
No pressure.
You know, you, at that time, I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you three little young girls were responsible for so many other people's livelihoods. They're all making money off the back of what you're doing. And you've got to be on your A game, otherwise you're going to let them down. And in our business, people will let you know that. It's not like they'll protect you. You'll be like, don't care if you're tired, get out there and do what you've got to do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they were straight. Not even like no sugarcoating or anything.
No.
No sugarcoating. They just tell you straight, don't they? They go, you can't do this today. And you go, okay. I mean, you know, we all lost the plot a few times, to be fair. Really, I wasn't in my right mind once or twice. I remember.
Your mum must have wanted to just come and grab you and take you away.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, she did. I think once or twice she's asked a few people to mostly respectfully, but very sternly, like get out of a house when they were trying to take us somewhere once. And she went, one eye was like looking at me, the other one was looking for me. Honestly, you were like cross-eyed and everything. You were just like so tired and so delirious. It's weird. I don't remember at all. She was like, you were gone. Like you were
just
weird.
Just left the building, just left your body.
Yeah, totally. She said, just like, she went, you were half dressed thinking that you were ready to go. She went, you were just like, and we were only still young then as well. But I mean, that was a one time for me where I just like, I don't know what happens to you. Weird.
Your body just does what it's got to do, doesn't it? Until it finally stops.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So let's talk about your theatre career then, because you've had, as much as you know, you stopped on the brink of breaking America, you then didn't actually stop because you've been yeah. playing some amazing roles right across the country. You've been performing in theatre. Tell everyone about that, your favourite jobs you've done on stage.
Oh, I think just still to this day, I think Legally Blonde was my favourite because we were like the first one to, we were the first tour group of Legally Blonde, and it was just such a gorgeous cast of still friends and everyone in that, absolutely everyone. Faye, who's in Corrie, or I think she's left Corrie now, she was our L in that, and she's absolutely sensational. She's gone on to do amazing things. So I love that, and I love the music to it. Got to work with a Tony Award winner, so that was pretty good. Yeah, and wow. So that
what
was
about
really
Elf?
Amazing.
I never got to see you in Elf, and I really wanted to catch you.
Oh, it was Elf was sensational, absolutely sensational. I mean, Elf was actually weirdly there was a lot of pressure with Elf because of the film, and then they recorded it and put it on Christmas Day on Channel 5, and the pressure with that, oh my God, I was like, I feel like I'm in MasterChef again. It's like my stomach was gone. Honestly, I vomited before they recorded it and everything. It was the weirdest thing.
You mentioned MasterChef. Would you do any other reality TV? Is there anything you've got your eye on that you'd like to do?
Oh God, no, never. No, honestly, I never wanted to do MasterChef. I don't like pressure, Leon. I just like a nice life. I am an old woman, I swear to God. But my mum made me do that because she loved the show so much. And I was like, but mum, I can't really cook. She went, I bet you'll know more than you think. So I did it and then won it, which was mad. But so I did as well Love Island before it was what it is now.
Oh, did you really?
So, right, let me explain it though. So what happened is it was called Celebrity Love Island and it was in Fiji. And I was like, that's okay. And also, it was the first ever one they did. And they didn't tell us that it was called Love Island. I didn't know what it was called or what it was really about, to be quite honest.
How did they sell that to you, Liz? Just said, do you want to go to Fiji and we'll pay you? And you went, all right.
Yeah, basically, they were like, so it's this show. I mean, we're going to record you. It's going to be like this many male celebrities, this many female challenges together and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, you've got to pair up. But honest to God, when we were like paired up, I didn't think they meant like paired up like as a couple. Like, who would do that on telly? That's what I was thinking. I went, who would do that on telly? No one would do that on telly.
Oh, that's terrible.
But yes, that was madness. But 6 weeks in Fiji, that was good. I was like, that's a nice job. Right, now, can I tell you something? Right, I can say this now, surely. I can say this now.
Go on.
I'll probably get into trouble for this from some, like, producer of whatever channel it was on. Oh, but, so I...
have me fighting legal battles. I've got no money.
No, there's no legal thing about it. But what happened to me was I can't even remember. Like, but I met...
Liz, you've got all our nerves gone here. If this was on the radio, I'd go, we're going to take a break and come back and keep everyone hanging.
No, it's not even that interesting. I think it's exciting for me because I'm single at the moment. I'm like, oh, memories, how lovely.
Oh,
for me, so what happened was I got called to like whatever, like the diary room or whatever it's called, I don't know. And so I went there like sharpish because I was right around the corner from it. And there was this fella there who was a runner at the time of the show. And he was setting something up. And oh my God, he was the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my life. It's about my age, so about like mid-20s. Oh, he was absolutely, oh my God, he was so beautiful. And I just kept staring at him going, oh my God, oh my God. And I got told, forget that you saw that person. Like, they were like, don't say you saw that person. You know, it wasn't, you weren't meant to see him. It was an accident. And I was like, okay. Didn't meet anyone on the show. But hilariously, Frank Cosgrave was on the show, Tasha's ex-fiance, and the audiences kept trying to set us up, which obviously didn't happen.
Yeah.
But that was hilarious.
You not cop off with the fella?
The rap party I did. Yes.
Yes!
Oh my God.
What a brilliant story.
I literally got to that party and I was searching for him. I was like, please be here. Oh my God, I just want to see his face. He's so beautiful. He was like some like blonde, surfer, gorgeous. Oh my God, he was just lovely. Wow.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Let's talk lockdown then. How are you getting through your days? What are you doing?
I have decided that I want to finish learning French properly because I lived in France for 2 years and my French is still not the best. So I'd like to finish that off, but I still haven't started.
Our teacher was Miss Lamont, wasn't she, in school?
Yes!
Madame Lamont. And I didn't realise how good she was because I didn't pay much attention in any class, as you know. But I do know a bit of French, you know. She did teach me some, even against me will. She definitely taught me some French.
And we all came out with really, really good marks with her, like GCSE wise. I think she was absolutely brilliant. Because I went to a school, remember, because I came late to our school, didn't I?
Yeah.
And so I had a teacher before that, and she used to say, well, your accent's really good, but you'll never speak French. You'll never be good. I came out with an A. And just like, but that was our teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, she was brilliant. She was. Oh, she was. I wonder how she's doing now, Miss Lamont.
Oh, I know. I
do.
Those
big poodles. She had those big, massive poodles, didn't she? She bring into school sometime.
I think
it was
must
a theatre
much...
school, by the way, if everyone's absolutely baffled. It wasn't like a normal school. It was like St. Trinian's. It was like...
Oh, yeah. It was a bit nuts. It was a little bit nuts, wasn't it?
It was. Like... So you're going to learn French. That's going to be
so French,
brilliant.
Finishing off the French. And I've actually started as well learning Korean.
What?
Because, I watched this TV show about a few months ago. No, it wasn't even a few. Yeah, it was a few months ago, I'd say. A few months ago, before lockdown. And it was a Korean TV show. And it was the saddest thing I've ever seen on Netflix. And I was like, oh, that's so lovely. But there was like, when they had things written down, I was like, I've got no idea what that says. Because the characters are different. You know, like instead of the alphabet.
Yeah.
It's just totally different. And I was like, oh, I'd love to know what that means. So I started learning it. And I'm doing really quite well. So I made up myself there.
I'm so impressed with you right now. I could be like you if I didn't have kids. I could be learning all new stuff.
Do you know what? I do look, I see you on Instagram all the time. And I'm just like, your day is chocking, isn't it?
I know, it's a nightmare. People are like, I think people think I really enjoy it that busy. And I don't. It's just the way it is. It's not out of choice. It's just the way it's all just turned out.
I do look at you and go, bloody hell, she's got so much energy. I'd love to have that much energy.
Well, there's you looking at me and I'm now sitting here thinking I want to be you, learning Korean and just doing all kinds of amazing stuff. What's going to be happening when lockdown's over? What's coming up in your life then?
Well, do you know what, to be honest, everyone, there's a lot of speculation about what would happen gig-wise because for shows for us and stuff. But they're saying that they actually truly believe that there won't be any actual shows this year, like for people, because that would, there's going to be a lot of people like cramped together, isn't there, things like that. So I don't know. I think for me, I'd just get in the studio, get some writing done, so get to London, get some writing done, start off sort of smaller and then work our way up to gigs, hopefully. So
is that what you love to do? Are you still loving writing and performing your own stuff?
No, I don't know. Do you know what? I don't like performing my own stuff. Strangely, I had a little stint of it about 2 years ago and I got really good interest and, you know, a record company interest and everything, but it just...
Yeah, because you were doing that country and western style stuff and I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I love it and the songs, and people have requested to use the songs. I'm not going to use them, which is great, but I love writing the songs, but it's... Do you know what really scares me is that, like, I've always written from personal experience when it comes to songs. So then singing them in front of people just makes me feel like I'm actually quite a closed book, to be fair. So when I'm singing things in front of people, it scares me more than a normal show. Like, oh my God, I feel ill, like sharing stuff like that.
You're totally exposed. It's like standing on a stage and telling everyone your secrets.
Exactly, yeah, and not just the secret, but how it made you feel at that time and exactly what went wrong and blah, blah, relationship. And I just go, oh, God. But I love writing it. I just don't want to, I personally don't want to sing it myself, which is, a lot of people have found that weird, but I think I'd rather other people sing them. So I think give them out to other people, like let other people record them and stuff.
Sounds like a plan. Ladies of Liverpool. But listen, before you go, I need to ask you a couple of quick fire questions, okay?
Oh, fab. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so ready. First things that come into your answer and explain them as much or as little as you want, okay?
Okay. Oh, okay.
First question. Favourite singer? Go.
Oh, still Kelly Clarkson, probably. Just voice, powerhouse, writes from a soul. Love all that.
And she's got her own TV show now, hasn't she?
What?
Yes. There you go. Get that Googled. She has her own chat show and she's brilliant. She's dead funny.
I love her. Yeah, I love
there
it.
You go. You can catch up on that. I've got nothing else to do, have we? Love, start watching that. Favourite film of all time?
Big Trouble in Little China.
Favourite drink?
Ooh, Carver.
Ooh. Favourite bar in Liverpool?
Do you know what? I really like the vibe in that Castle Street townhouse and I like the music
in
there.
Yeah.
Mate, I love it. Really like it in there.
Me too. And they can just, you're local then for the croc. You can stagger around to the croc.
Yeah.
A bit of karaoke.
Oh, God. Yeah. I love it. Oh, my God.
Favourite restaurant?
A new restaurant on Stanley Street called La Famiglia. because my friend has opened it.
Oh, go on, tell me more then. Who's your mate?
He was one of the guys that worked in San Carlo, and he started a family restaurant with his brother-in-law, and the food is, my best friend is like Italian, and she calls, when she makes food, she calls it peasant food, and I'd say that they've sort of taken that vibe but made it sort of posh. And oh my God, the food is just like out of this world. They're delivering while they're doing lockdown as well, actually. They're doing really like all the pasta.
Give us
stuff,
the name again nice. While I write it down and put my order in.
La Famiglia. La Famiglia. Stanley Street. Lovely. Yeah, the family, yeah.
Thanks for the tip off. And final one, your favourite football team like we don't know.
Everton! Toffee. Love them.
Do you go to the match often, Liz?
Yeah, I do constantly. Yeah. So what's good for me is because obviously there's a lot of teams in London. We can I get to, if I'm in London, I get to see a lot in London as well. So then the family will come to me and then we'll all go, and that's nice. So if I'm home, I'll go, and then if I'm in London, I'll go. So that's good.
Brilliant. Well, Liz, thank you so much for keeping us entertained during lockdown.
Oh, thank
you. Your fabulous trend going. Your hashtag. Hero of the day on Instagram.
Oh yeah, thank you. I will.
Celebrating our key workers. If you're listening now and you want to nominate someone, go and find Liz on Instagram and tell her exactly who you'd love to celebrate. People doing wonderful things, including yourself. Liz, thanks so much, babe.
Oh, thank you, Leanne.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.